The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Khadijah and the White Guy. I'm Keith Washburn.
And I am Khadijah Hardaway.
And our guest this morning is a college student from William Jewell College. His name is Jameson O'Connor. Welcome, Jameson.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. Yeah, and we want to say right at the top of the show, just like we do not express the opinions of KKFI in this room, they are our own opinions. The same thing goes for Jameson and William Jewell. He is here to represent himself and not necessarily the college. Right, Jameson?
That's right.
All right. So why are you a Republican?
Oh, I'm a Republican. I grew up in a traditional Irish Catholic family and had a lot of conservative values taught to me by my parents. But in a very pragmatic fashion. So it wasn't blind conservatism. It wasn't toe the party line. It was, think for yourself, but this is what we believe. And when I started to be able to think for myself, got to that age, 14, 15, 16, I became most interested in stuff like foreign policy. And I felt that my views aligned the most with the Republican Party, with the conservative movements, with that. So that's been my biggest thing, and as I've gone to Jewell, I've had a focus on foreign policy, so that's been my biggest draw to the party. Economically, my background's not great. I'm not really a numbers guy, but I still believe that to bring the lower half up, you have to allow the upper half, if you will, to create jobs and create opportunity for everybody else. So,
all right. So, and you are the chair of the College Republicans?
That's right. Yes,
that's a chapter there at William Jewell.
We're getting that off the ground. It's still a work in progress. And we're affiliated with the Missouri Federation of College Republicans, who's affiliated with the College Republican National Committee, who is affiliated with the Republican National Committee. So it's kind of that we're in the chain. So.
All right. Khadijah, okay. What do you think of this? A Republican. Not only that, there are two white guys in the studio with you this morning.
I know, right? It's interesting. It's interesting. But before I give my thoughts on what I think, I want people to be able to call in and know what our topic is today. So you call in 816-931-5534, and this is part two of the election in Donald Trump. So
there you go. And we want to remind everybody you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
And we be slamming too. But anyway, I always got to make things light. I really don't view people by the party they're in. I kind of view them by their morale, how they stand with just individuals. I know when we talk politics, it's like, grouping people together and, this side against that side. But, so many times our views are based upon our experiences and where we come from, but it doesn't necessarily make us really who we are. So for me, parties don't really matter to me as much as it does who the person and who the individual is I'm dealing with at that time. And right now, Jameson seems to be a nice guy. I know he looks good. Excuse me, Willie, but yeah, he's a nice-looking football player from William Jewell.
And we should probably ask this question. Are there Democrats at William Jewell?
Yes. There's no shortage of Democrats. Well, and they might even say that they're not Democrats. A lot of them, they'd say they're progressive, they're liberals. But there are plenty of Republicans, too. And I'm glad that you think that way about politics, because I really think that's important, because I think in today's political culture, there's been such a kind of underlying belief that the other side is malicious or bad, just because they don't agree with you. And I think that's a really sad thing, because American politics has rested for over a century, two centuries now, has rested on this this belief that we have to be able to have a conversation. And if you can't have a conversation with the other side, then you can't get anything done. And that's a really basic statement, but I think that's so true, and I think that's something that a lot of people involved with politics need to really work on today. So my favorite people to have class with at Jewell are the kids who sit on the far left side of the political spectrum, because we have the most fun. We have the greatest clash of ideas, and it's nice to run into people who just don't think like you do and get new ideas and
so
let me
ask you, on the campus, those liberals, progressives you're referring to, Democratic Party, have there been any debates centered around the election and the current issues going on in the country?
Yeah, we have mostly over Facebook. Honestly, we have like a Facebook page amongst the political science department, and it's facilitated by primarily by two of the professors at Jewel. And there's lots of debates on there, people sharing articles and commenting on it, just because we're all really busy with our class schedule, so it's kind of hard to group everybody together and hash it out. It's a lot of very intelligent, opinionated people. So it gets fun. Sometimes I'll have to, like, put my iPad or my iPhone away in class because I'm sitting in a poli-sci class on the poli-sci Facebook page talking about something else in the poli-sci department.
That's great. Let me ask you this. What would you assess as currently in the Republican Party? What's the health of the Republican Party in the United States?
I have no idea. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's healthy. I think that we've kind of, and this is just me, this is just my general overview. I just don't know if anyone really knows what it means to be a Republican anymore, or what it means to even be a conservative. One of my professors brought that up a couple months ago, earlier this semester, and it's really stuck with me. He's like, you conservatives call yourselves conservatives. Well, what are you conserving? And I had no idea how to answer that question, and I'm still trying to figure it out.
Do you think media and social media is playing a role in disrupting the public Republican Party?
Oh, yeah, especially I'm big on Twitter. I love Twitter. Facebook is huge. It's kind of had a – it went away while I was in high school, and now it's kind of back. Like when in high school it became like Facebook was a thing just for parents. It's kind of funny. But anyway, so I'm back on that a lot too. And I think that's allowed people to that normally that couldn't connect to connect. And a lot of people are just irritated with everybody. And they don't like Hillary. They don't. They might not identify with Senator Sanders. They don't like Trump. They didn't like Ted Cruz. Marco Rubio seemed fake to them. They're just looking for somebody, and they can talk to the people who feel the same way. So I totally agree, yeah.
I think when we went through the economic crisis, that mm-hmm. people started identifying themselves individually and not so much directed toward a party because everybody was suffering at that point, you know. It didn't matter who you were. You could have lost your job, you know. Before we go any further, I just want you guys to know that you can call in. The phone number is 816-931-5534. You listen to Khadijah and the White Guy, and we're talking the election and Donald Trump with Mr. O'Connor, the football player.
Exactly, exactly. So I wanted to just go through a couple of the comments that we heard last week. So we had lots of callers last week. Some of you might remember the phone lines actually got jammed, and we couldn't take any more callers. So, Sonia, if you're out there, we want to hear from you this week. We never could get Sonia on the air. She called like two or three times. But here are some of the comments last week. Not enough angry white people to elect Trump. Another person called in and said twice, the system just sucks. He said it at the beginning. Then he said a few words. Then he said, again, the system sucks. Then somebody said, well, Bernie is not going to make it, so now I'm going to vote for Trump.
I think there were two people that said the
same
thing.
They were between Bernie and Trump.
They were clear Bernie supporters, but now that Bernie is not going to make it, they decided to go with Trump.
Which is a defying against Hillary.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people do not want Hillary in. They don't like her for whatever reason.
Well, I think also some people, it may be a vote against Hillary, but it also could be a vote against the system.
Right.
In other words, thinking that Trump is an outsider and he may actually reform the system.
Mm-hmm.
Another person called in and said, there are not two parties in this country anyway. They're both the same dang people.
Right. I thought
they're
that rich, was really interesting.
Elite. Same old people on both sides of the line, Democrats and Republicans. So we need a third party in order so we can just have two parties. That was what one gentleman said. So we had a lot of interesting callers. And as Khadijah just said, call in. We'd like you to be part of the conversation this morning on Khadijah and the White Guy.
So, you know, without further ado, let's just get right into it. What do you think of Donald Trump?
And I'm going to say again, this is just Jameson O'Connor. I'm not speaking for my school or anybody I've worked for.
I'm waiting with open ears.
Or I will work for. I am not a fan, and I'm a Republican, and I'm not leaving the party. I'm not jumping ship, but I am not a fan of Donald Trump. I don't know if I'm going to vote for him yet. I won't say yes, and I won't say no. But he just, as maybe shallow, if you will, as it sounds, he just is unpresidential to me. He comes off as very unpresidential. I don't.
What do you mean by that? What makes him unpresidential? Is it because he doesn't know? He doesn't talk about policy, or give me an example.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the lack of substance. When I've watched a lot of the debates, forced some of my roommates to sit and watch the debates with me, so that was fun. and not for them, maybe. but hey, they vote. They need to be informed. So
I get you.
Yeah. So just a lot of things. He just said, for example, the Palestine-Israeli conflict. So I've studied a lot of the foreign affairs, like I said, at Jewel. So and we did a whole thing a year ago this semester. So spring of 15 on a practicum is what we call it at Jewel, which is where you kind of get to play. As an Israeli, you get to pretend you're, and so the class assignment is come in and try to solve this, pretend you're an Israeli and try to solve this problem with the Palestinians. And I remember that conflict came up in one of the debates, and Donald Trump, all he kind of said was, well, I'm a really good deal broker. I make deals, people, people listen to me and blah, blah, blah. And that was like, that was the end of it. That was how he was going to solve it, is because he's good at making deals.
He's a good salesman.
Yeah. And I'm kind of sitting here like, this conflict is nuts. That you can't just be a good deal breaker. This conflict's going on for so long, and it's way more. There's way more to it than that.
We have a caller on the air. I would like you to state your name and what area of the town you're calling from.
Yes, I'm Joanne, South Kansas City. I just want to say that this Republican leader should state his sources of information, because opinions by themselves aren't helpful. People need to know where he gets his information.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in this morning. Appreciate it very much.
Right. Yeah, and I would just say my source of information would be just the news I'm getting, my Twitter feed, maybe who I'm talking to, what I'm reading, and then my interpretation. So all I am presenting is my opinions and interpretations of the facts. I can't give you like a list of articles that I've read lately. I don't really get to watch a lot of news, so I'm not going to say like I watch Fox News or NBC. I don't have cable.
But you read
in my
a lot.
Dorm room. Yeah, I read most of my news. So I read mostly like the New York Times is one, which I know is a generally more left-leaning publication. Okay. So
let me ask you this. If it comes down to you not voting for Trump, will you vote at all, or are you going to vote for the other side? Would that mean
I'm assuming the nominee will be former Secretary Clinton for the Democrats. I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
It might be Senator Sanders. I wouldn't cast a vote for either of them, frankly. I don't align with Senator Sanders just on policy, and with Hillary, I'm not a fan as well. So I think I would do a write-in vote is okay. What I would do.
So we have another caller. State where you're calling from and your name, please.
Hi, my name's Walt, and I'm from Gladstone.
Okay. You have a comment or a question for O'Connor?
I just got some comments about the politicians and elections in general. Politicians, they all say they've got plans. Well, my memory serves me correctly that in 1968, Nixon said he had a plan for ending the Vietnam War.
And
sure.
Yeah, and you're saying basically that what, Trump is saying a lot of things, but he doesn't have any plan?
I'm saying they all don't really have plans.
Just politicians
I mean,
in general?
You know, like I said, in 68, Nixon said he was going to, had a plan to end the war. And then also in the election of 1960, Kennedy was talking about, the missile gap, which that problem really didn't exist at all.
So, I think what we could summarize, because Jameson is, 20 years old, I think.
Yeah.
He does not remember Nixon
right.
and all that. But basically, he did not get us out of Vietnam, not very quickly
right.
at all.
Right.
Right. It went on and on and
on. Yeah. Nixon was out of office before we ever left Vietnam.
Right, right. So, thank you for calling in. We've got another caller, so I don't mean to cut you short. Really appreciate you calling in. Hope you'll call back sometime.
Thank you.
All righty. All right, we have another caller on the line right now, if you could. Whoa! And we may have actually lost that caller. We'll see what happened there. I think they may have hung up, so we'll ask them to call back. So what do you guys think of that, Jameson? People calling and saying, hey, they're all talking, you know, smack, but mm-hmm. they don't have any plans on both sides of the line.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to the kind of disillusionment with both sides, where you said earlier you had a caller last week or someone comment that they were between Senator Sanders and Donald Trump, which to me, policy-wise, that's like, it's a big difference.
Yeah.
But what the common theme is there is that somebody who's going to go in and shake it up and change and try to reform. So maybe that's just what everybody's thinking there.
All right, so I think we have another caller. You're on the air. State your first name and what town, part of the town you're from.
Yeah, this is Jeremy in Lawrence.
All right, thanks for calling in this morning, Jeremy. What's your comment or question?
Well, I first want to applaud you all for having vigorous conversation across perceived political and ethnic lines, because that needs to be the foundation of the future of our country. Yeah. Moving forward, and the best of the American tradition comes from things like the New England Town Hall Assembly, the Iroquois Councils, where people of good faith who live in an area get together and face each other face to face and have it out in ideas. And what we've seen from our political system for, you know, at least a century is the old school imperial MO of divide and conquer. And the best way to get people to fight against each other is to pretend like there's only two sides of an issue, left and right, Democrat, Republican, white, black. And we see this really coming to the fore in this election, where there's a real populist uprising from the bottom that's being split into fake options from the Democrats and the Republicans. And you see, you know, white folks getting duped, I think, by Donald Trump, who is not a real populist. He's like a TV reality billionaire fake populist. And, you know, and for the Democrats, you see people of color voting for Hillary Clinton, who's proven herself to, when it comes down to the rubber meeting the political road, to vote against the interests of people, black folks, both at home and people of color abroad, in terms of her militaristic foreign policy. Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest is that we continue and get deeper into this kind of scenario, where we talk across boundaries. And in terms of actual voting, we now know that the political system is not only rigged by money, but it's actually rigged in terms of voting machines. And when you vote in the general election in November, you don't actually know who's counting your vote. And so we need to think of another way here. I would suggest maybe we need to gather together all the populace of good faith and do some type of write-in candidacy that doesn't have to be counted by a machine, but can be counted by a human.
Yeah, but I love your comments. Thank you so much for calling in this morning.
Thanks for the compliment, too, Jeremy. We really appreciate it.
Yes, mm-hmm. very much so. So call back sometime, and thanks again. All right, some really good comments there, and kind of went to what Jameson was saying earlier, which is we need to come together as a country and talk to each other and actually have a discussion about some of these items instead of getting so polar. That's what that gentleman said.
Right.
It's totally on one side or the other side. And we do have another caller, by the way.
Okay. Well, I just want to say it was interesting that you brought in a write-in candidate. But, caller, could you go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from?
My name's Mike. I'm calling from Overland Park.
Mike, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do have a comment. I think that your whole panel is basically clueless about how the rest of the world perceives us. Do you know that we're the new Nazis? Who are we to go stormtrooping around the globe, kicking down doors of mud huts and jamming our value system down the throats of brown people everywhere, going around randomly bombing them with collateral damage like you can't imagine in the name of democracy? We've got two people that are just itching to get behind the gun of the Department of Defense and start continuing this bloodbath. And we can't rein them in.
And those two people would be Donald Trump and whom else?
Yes,
who else?
Yes.
Who else?
They can't wait.
Who else
to pull
besides
the trigger
Trump
and continue this insanity? And there's no way to rein them in. This whole thing is run amok. And I challenge your guest to see if there's any way that we can establish some form. I know it's not a a democracy. I know it's a republic, but it sucks.
Yep, I hear you. I hear you. Thank you so much for calling in, and let's see what our guest thinks about that. Thank you, caller. And your comments, Jameson?
I would just say that we're not the only bad guys, so maybe some of the people, has there been collateral damage, and particularly lately with some of the campaigns? I'm assuming you're primarily referencing the Middle East. There's been collateral damage, and that's a shame. I think in a lot of ways it's a fact of war. And we are, in a lot of ways, at war with some people who want to destroy the whole system, who are in favor of what I would call is a very anarchical state of affairs, which is far more dangerous than what we have, as bad as we might get. We've made some mistakes, but I think we've done more good than bad in the long run. Maybe not specific points lately. But.
Okay, we have a lot of callers this morning, so we're going to take another caller right now. You're on the air. Could you tell us your first name and what town, what part of the town or what town you're living in? Didn't catch it, sir. If you may need to turn down your radio in the background there.
This is George. I'm from Grandview.
Hi, George. How are you?
Hi, Keith. I figured out back when they were voting in Iraq, I read an article and I found some found a bunch of stuff in there that I didn't really understand. And so I started looking stuff up, and I figured out that there are different kinds of voting systems. And we have the oldest and original voting system in the world for a democracy. And we don't really have a democracy. As Donald Trump pointed out, I was glad to see him point out, basically our president is going to be chosen by us, but the options we have are two people that are chosen by a total of other under 6,000 people that are delegates to the conventions.
Okay, so if you could briefly, because we've got another caller right behind you here, very briefly describe the other option that you would like to use as a voting process, please.
There are things called preferential voting. And in it, basically, you vote for, instead of voting for one or the other, you vote in order. I would like this guy first, this guy second, this guy third, this guy fourth. And basically, by combining these, you end up getting a consensus.
So, yeah, and the idea here is that, you know, it would be weighted. My number one vote gets weighted higher than the person
Correct.
That I put in the second slot or the third slot. And this is something pretty well known to people that run in Georgia's circles and others. And say it again, it's preferential, right?
Preferential
voting. The one I look at is IRV, instant runoff voting.
Uh-huh.
And basically this ends up with a lot more of a centrist and consensus.
Yeah. We have another caller, George. We just want to thank you so much for calling in. I am going to go look that up myself.
Yeah, I am too, definitely, yeah.
So let's take our other caller, and thanks again for calling in, George. So look it up, folks, preferential voting or IRV voting. And we have another caller. Could you say your name and what part of the town you're calling in from? We just have a couple minutes, so we may not be able to take any other callers after this.
Daniel from Grandview.
All right, Daniel, what's your comment or question this morning?
Okay, yeah, it's a thing about voters are really responsible. I mean, the comment I have is vote the greed heads out before they put you out. Tax billionaires out of existence. How much is enough when so many are driven to desperation? $999 million ought to be enough to live a decent life. Are you tired of living in fear of financial and medical concerns? Vote the greed heads out. Stop believing their lies. Tax billionaires out of existence.
All right. Hey, thank you for that comment. And let's see what Jameson thinks of that this morning. Thank you again, caller.
Maybe all I'd say is if I become a billionaire, don't tax me out of existence. I doubt that'll happen. But I think that brings up a point of, like, the wage gap, which is – and even as a Republican, the wage gap is pretty ridiculous, I think, I commonly said. I don't know the truth of it, the factual truth of it. which is that 1% of the population controls just an obnoxious amount of the wealth in the country. And I'm all about more of a, not completely, but a more of a laissez-faire capitalism. But yeah, that's obnoxious. You can't have a democratic republic that we are. As one of the callers said, we're not a democracy. He's right. We're a democratic republic. It needs a thriving middle class. It has to have that. And so without that, we're going to run into some issues like we're seeing right now, I think. So we got to figure that out. We got to have a conversation, like one of the, even the earlier callers said. But I'm not sure the way to do that is to just blindly tax, because I don't think it's they're earning maliciously, but you're right, the wage gap is ridiculous. We got to figure out some way to even it up.
All right, got a lot of callers this morning. We got yet another caller, and we're happy to have you on the air. Please say your name and what part of the town you're calling in from.
My name's Grant Derry. I'm actually calling in from Wichita, Kansas.
All right. You're from Jameson's hometown.
You guys.
Right. Yeah, Grant and I went to high school together. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. How you been, Jameson?
Oh, you know, just living the dream. So I'm on public radio, so I'm doing real well, right?
To get to my question here,
yeah.
So there's been a lot of negative side effects to this election. You can say from becoming radical on the right and left, really a lot of people are happy with the whole situation. But do any of you think there have been positive notions coming from this election on either side?
Oh, good question. We're going to keep you on the air, so hang with us just a second. What do you think, Jameson?
I want to say yes, but it's really hard to see the positives. The one thing, maybe, and I'm really reaching here, but maybe the one thing that is positive is it's as crazy. Like I said earlier, I get confused at how someone can go from a Sanders to a Trump and be those are their two candidates just because of policy wise they're so far apart. But maybe that is a good thing where we're seeing that we need some real change, and they're not seeing it from these two establishments. So maybe that is one of the good things where you have this kind of awakening on all parts of the political spectrum. So maybe that is a good thing. But that's also dangerous, too, to where people – it's blind change. So that could be really dangerous because people aren't acting on policy anymore. They're just seeing all they're voting on. It's a one-issue thing. It's a Sanders and Trump are going to change it. We don't care how they change it, but they're going to change it.
Right, looking for a hero, basically.
Right, right. Yeah, so and that's kind of dangerous, but – you know, maybe it needs to be shaken up. I know Thomas Jefferson has a quote about that tree of liberty needs to be refreshed.
How about this? At what point does pandering to particular subgroups of our society become a negative factor? Because you have Bernie and Trump who pander literally to just a small amount of the actual party base.
So, yeah, we've got about a couple minutes. So let me say goodbye to the caller from Wichita. Is it okay to let him go?
Yeah.
Thanks, Grant.
I just want to make reference to what he said. And I think sometimes we look at the president as the big picture. And when it really comes down to it, you got the Congress and
absolutely.
You got the Senate,
yeah.
Which really makes the biggest difference. Because
absolutely.
When you talk about filibusters and things being held up in legislation, you really can't create change unless you have a whole House that's cleaned out. You
absolutely.
Know? The president can't do anything unless that House is clean.
Absolutely.
And so that's
And I just to echo that, I was going to bring that up. If you get involved in an election this year, get involved in a congressional election or a local election. Those are the people who create real change. I know the president's all over CNN, it's all over Fox News, it's all over MSNBC. But the people who create real change are your local officials,
right.
are your representatives in Washington, your
that
senators.
That represent you by the neighborhood
absolutely.
And the numbers in your neighborhood.
Absolutely. The people in your state house. Those are the ones, the people in your city who write your local tax codes. Those are the people you want to work for. I know president's cool, and you might get a nice T-shirt, and everybody knows who his name is, or her, in case of Secretary Clinton. But those are the people who create the real change, or the small level, or the people who you don't know their names.
Well,
but absolutely.
I for sure want to thank Jameson O'Connor for taking the time out to come. You got finals coming up next week.
That's
you came
right.
down here for
yeah.
the show. We really appreciate it. He is the chair of the College Republicans at William Jewell. It's a new starting chapter up there. And I'd like to leave final thoughts to Khadija.
I just want to say that we are all individuals, and that we should base our decisions on what we go through and what our loved ones also go through. and then we will be okay.